I'm Erickson here with After Buzz TV for Power Season 4, Episode 6, titled New Man. J.R. Ramirez is here to talk about Julio. Let's go!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Come on, everybody.
That's
sing.
A good one. Okay.
See you at the crossroads. You won't be lonely.
See you at the crossroads.
You won't be lonely.
Never will be at the crossroads.
You won't be lonely. Patar, I'll see you there, man. Julio, I'll see you there, man.
Marcus.
I'll see you. Oh, my God.
Sam.
Jeez.
You won't be lonely. No,
I don't know.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So many.
You won't be lonely.
Yeah.
I'll meet you there.
A whole lot of you went out.
All right, what's up, everybody? You can follow me on all social media at Bam Erickson.
Twitter, Instagram, at Be Your Own Dad.
I'm Jill Monroe. You can follow me at Stiletto Jill everywhere.
And I am at Robin Ayers everywhere.
And joining us via Skype, he played the character of Julio. Please welcome J.R. Ramirez.
Hey, welcome.
J.R., are you there? All right.
All right.
So,
all right.
There was a body count of 7. I tried to connect it to the 7 deadly sins, and I wasn't so successful. But 7 dead bodies.
JR.
He still lives.
Yeah. How are you?
Drinking a lot of wine, man.
As we said earlier, wow, there were a lot of body counts. There were 7 in total. And obviously, the most shocking, sad one is Julio. So let's...
Violent.
Let's go into this. So...
Yeah, man. Oh, you guys, can I see you? I'm going to be able to see you guys? Is this the way?
So the way it goes is we can see you, but you can't see us. I don't know why, but...
I just planned out.
And the fans can see you. I'm sure we're going to get text messages. You know,
because... Yeah, because they were asking us why we didn't discuss your scene with Sue last week.
Yeah.
So
you know we got to talk about that.
Yeah. We got to find out about that.
Okay.
I think that was coming.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so... Dre is with Black Grimace. He confronts Julio is with Black Grimace. He confronts Dre about him talking to Kanan, whether he told Tommy about Kanan and if they and how they were given direct orders to shoot Kanan dead. So Dre says he has a new contact. Julio wants to run it by Tommy first. Dre baits him and says, "You're distro now. You tell Crystal Ball's a problem and you show up with a solution in hand." Julio agrees to meet the guy. So meanwhile, Crystal Ball has Dre with Julio's former local Toros Loco member. And Julio says Julio should have been dead when he left the gang. Ghost stepped in to save his life. And so we see all this happening. And so my first question is, why did Julio leave the Toros Locos?
It was time to get out, man. You know, Julio wanted to get out the gang. Especially that whole gang thing was not what he wanted to do. He was ready to move up, and Ghost got him out of that and gave him an opportunity to, even though it was the streets, it was a whole nother kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm.
What exactly did Ghost do to get you out?
He had a talk with him.
Okay.
He had a talk with him, and that was never really established, but Omari and I really kind of broke down what happened, and just kind of like made our own little let it be truths and created these circumstances of, him going to talk to them and getting me out of the game and making a pact where they can't touch me kind of thing.
Okay.
It's interesting. I remember last time you were here.
Cool if they went back and kind of showed that, but the show doesn't really do flashbacks or anything. And there's a lot of things I wish we could have touched on, but it was a great ride. 4 years was a blessing. So
that's true. But you know what? You came through with your word, because we remember we were asking, where does that tattoo come from? You're like, it'll be shown. You know what I mean? So I'm glad that you guys went into it.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then such a pivotal piece of his death as well.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Was. Yeah, you're right. Like I specifically looked at that like, whoa. I mean, he just cut it off of his neck and it was just,
I have to be honest, I didn't see the scene where Julio goes. I actually, when I started to see the blood, I'm a wimp, so I turned and I didn't.
You couldn't it too I gruesome.
I just
you're
knew.
Too bad. Come on, it's funny. I talked to my mom last night. She was like, "I can't watch." I turned it off. Okay. I started hyperventilating and crying, and I was like, "Mom, it's TV." She's like, I don't
but you broke your hand doing that, right? You did your own stunts for that scene, yes.
Is that true?
Yeah, I did all my stuff. I actually broke my hand for like a good 5-6 hours into the day without knowing.
Wow.
I shattered, I don't know if y'all can see it, but I'll have scars for life.
Yeah.
I shattered, I had 2 pins in here like Wolverine. Yeah. But, you know, it just kind of like my hand snapped back and I was like, ooh, that kind of hurts. So I put a little ice on it and just kind of rode through the day. It was my last day in 4 years. I was like, I'm not going to, you know. I was like, it's funny because Joe came in and he wasn't shooting that day. He just came in to kind of show support. The guy's the best. And he's like, bro, you realize you got a stunt double, right? And I was just like, this is my last day, dude. I'm going to, you know, hand or not, pain or not, I'm going to do this.
I respect it.
Yeah, that was a because, brutal scene. Hey,
but he went out like a warrior. He went out fighting.
Okay, so let's break down this scene. So on so we see the guy. What was the guy's name who your character was in the gang with? What was his character's name?
His character's name is remember this was last December. I'm blanking.
Well, it's okay. So
we
him with the bald head. Yep. So he and Dre and Cristobal all worked out this deal to where they're going to set him up because now that Ghost is out of the game, I believe the exact words that Dre said was that he was up for grabs.
His
life was up for grabs. Yeah. So Dre says to take him out, don't make it look like a Turo's kill. You need to protect yourself and you need to protect me. So now we see Julio go to this
warehouse
type thing, and so now Julio walks in. Now, I have to be honest. When Julio walked in there, and when he walked in by himself, that was strike one for me.
Yeah, questionable.
That was strike one for me because you show up to this place, you show up to this warehouse. And you show up by yourself, and
trusting Dre.
Yes, and then when Julio shows up, and when he sees the his former gang member there, I felt like Julio waited too long. He was too slow. Strike one. I have to call it like I see it. I was like, strike one. Okay.
That was strike two for you.
Actually, no, strike one. I got strike two and strike three. I'll break that down later. But so, what's your thoughts about what happened?
You coming with it today, Bam. I knew I was waiting. I was like, he's gonna be coming with it. You know what, man, I'll be honest. Like as an actor, I read it and I mean, listen, we all know it's coming eventually as power. It's kind of show that it's, you know, your days are numbered regardless. And like I said, it was a blessing to be able to have 4 years out of it. But when I read it, two things I thought. One, I always wanted to get my hands dirtier, and this character has always been something I always told Courtney. I was like, I get it. He's a smart guy. He thinks before he acts. He's loyal, all that stuff. But let me throw some bows. You know, and I understand why it didn't happen because there were so many characters around me that were doing that. So I had to try to find the raw authenticity of being the thinker and wanting to act but not being able to. And when I read the scene first, I thought, thank goodness that I didn't just get a bullet to the back of the head.
Right, yeah.
Would have gone out like a pansy or something like that. That could have happened, you know? They really gave me a beautiful, heroic, just, I couldn't ask for a better scene. That gets put together, honestly. And then I also thought, then I had the JR thought being like, really? Will you walk in there by himself? Come on, Donnie, what? Are you serious? But that's just what's on paper, and we had to make it work. And I think Julio, to really try to validate it, I just feel like he always felt that Dre was sneaky as hell.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, especially this year, he was in over his head. He really wanted to do right by the organization. He understood Tommy was a loose cannon and always going to be a loose cannon, and he wanted to show them that he could do what needs to be done, and he's been waiting for this position for a long time. So I think, like, it's for me to validate it. It was a sense of being like, is this guy really trying to snake me out? Like, is he really trying to? Nah, you know what? I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. you know, and that's the way I try to look at it. But, you know, obviously as me, when I saw it as JR, I was just like, walking there by yourself? Like, wait, you know, I'm here packing or not. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But yeah,
there was a second when I thought that he was actually going to kill all of them and get away with it. And
then I thought
was like,
so too.
I was like, uh oh, like Dre, like he's coming for you, Dre. I had that moment, you know, but yeah. What did it take? Like that preparation, knowing that you were, cause I was even looking at your facial expressions when you were, you know, you had turned over and you had this blood coming out of your mouth and your eyes were sort of, you know, like you were stressed out obviously. And you had gone through this big, this scene. What was the preparation for that?
You know what? I really just, I spent a few weeks, we did, you know how Power is. They're amazing when it comes to any sort of fighting sequence or intimate sequence. We spent weeks rehearsing, getting everything done, making sure everything was on paper, understanding what we had to do on the day. And for me, emotionally, it was one of the biggest things I've ever had to do as an artist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd be lying if I say I wasn't nervous. I was nervous. I was a nervous wreck. But it just really, it's amazing when you when you get there and you realize how comfortable everyone makes you feel. And mm-hmm. Ian was such a pro and we collaborated well together. And you just kind of go in there and you give it everything you got. You know, mm-hmm. I really felt like when I left there, it was like a 17-hour day. And, yeah, my hand was throbbing. It looked like a golf ball. But I was just like, I had so much adrenaline and I had given so much of myself to that moment mm-hmm. that I was just like, this is what the craft is all about. Like, this is what I've been working my ass off for so many years to be able to come here and leave it here, you know? And that's, I felt like that's all you can do. And I'm really hard on myself. So that night I went home and I was just like praying that, you know, they do it justice. Sometimes you do great work and sometimes the editing or the way they cut it, it's so out of an actor's control, you know?
Right.
I knew that the director, that's another reason I was super happy when I got the episode, is Danny she's a beast and mm-hmm. I've worked with her before and she made me feel so comfortable from the jump. I actually got to give her a call. I've been meaning to call her and thank her. She was just amazing to work with and she just, every 5 minutes was like, are you good? Are you okay?
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Right. Are you comfortable? Like, should we do this some other way? Like, she was just like the entire 17-hour day.
Mm. That's awesome.
I mean, yeah, it was literally a dream come true. That last day for me was surreal, and I'm like getting like emotional thinking about it. To be honest with you. It happened a long time ago, but you know, it's 4 years of your life. And yesterday, even the day before, I was in Houston talking with Joe. We were doing press, and I was like, oh my god, it's tomorrow, you know? And I was just like, and I saw Amari like a day before. Randomly ran into him in the streets with his wife and stuff, and like, and it was starting to be like, shit, it's in a couple of days, it's happening, like that's it, you know? And I'm thinking, this was a long time ago, but it's like, you know, and I've been working on something else, but it was just funny because you give so much of, it's 4 years of your life, you know? So, anyways, long story short, that was emotionally, I just kind of, you know, you work so hard for so many years, and it's in there, it's in you, you know? You just gotta go in there and let it go and leave it all there, and I feel like I did that. I was actually really hard. I'm really hard on myself, and I saw it yesterday. And I made my girlfriend watch it twice. She was like crying and freaking out. And I was really happy with it. You know,
I have to admit, JR, I was a little sad when I saw the scene, especially when I watched it the second time. When I watched how they ripped the 718 out of the tat from your neck, I was pretty. I didn't cry, but I was pretty sad. I was like, damn, like this is, you know, this is a tough way to go out. I did have a couple questions. So when Julio turned his back on the goons, in which he then struck your leg, which is really the cause of why he died, because
his Achilles heel.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously you're not a writer, but I'm just saying, just watching it, that really sucked because, you know, I have to admit that I have been dogging the Julio character out this season, you know, saying not so nice things because just of how I saw this coming. But I thought to myself, wow, he's knuckling up, he's handling business, mm-hmm. like he's fighting for his life. He chokes out the one dude, bam, he's dead. He takes the other dude down, and then it was like, when you're in the streets, like, why didn't I was like, no, like, hit him in the face, make sure he's dead, and then take out the
right.
And so I was like, literally, like, yelling at the screen. But I know you're not the writer, but just as a fan of the show, that's what I was saying to the TV when all of that was happening.
A lot of emotion.
Yeah.
I mean, I think also in that moment, you have so much adrenaline, getting ambushed like that by people that you know, like from the, And that's one thing I really liked, is that really I wanted to give that desperation from the jump of when they took my gun away, of just being like, this is life and death now. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I saw it coming. I didn't do anything about it. And now I need to, in my mind, quickly figure out how the hell I'm going to get out of here, you know, alive. And you have so much adrenaline in that moment. He got cocky, you know. He took them out. He thought he had bashed the other guy enough. And he got cocky. And mm-hmm. the last thing he thought was the guy was going to pull out a knife and slice him. And we had to find a justification for that. And, I mean, once your Achilles is gone, you know, yeah,
it's over. Yeah.
I'm over, you know. So it's like, and there were so many moments to it. It was like, you know, I spoke with doctors about it, about the sensation. It was funny. I actually talked to one of the medics that they got, a doctor that gave me to talk to. And I spoke to him about a bunch of things. And I was just like, so let me ask you real quick. So if I were to get sliced in my Achilles, what do you recommend? Like, what happens? Like, your leg is out, you're done. Like, you're mm-hmm. what do you mean? Like, you're your Achilles. You mm-hmm. just, you normally hear a pop, but this is a slice of an Achilles. Your leg goes, you go out. Oh. Like, you fall to the floor and you're done. Like, it is excruciating pain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wanted more than anything to do it, give it as much justice as I possibly could. Because there was moments, the Achilles, the ripping, you know, getting skinned alive. Mm-hmm. Another thing I asked him was, how does that feel? He's like, you're getting skinned alive. Like, you know, yeah. like, what do you yeah. think? What do you think that feels
just
like?
And pain. I'm
like,
your death scene has been compared to amongst one of the most gruesome on Power Now, so you're definitely up there. Mm-hmm. But you did a great job. I think you did bring it a lot of justice. You did a great job as an actor, and you know, like Jimmy and I said, you went out like a G. You
like
know
a
what
champ,
I mean? So.
Yeah.
So you did great there. So,
And then the final thing, your last words was, what you deserve is that Dre kills you, you MF. I thought that was a bit interesting that his last words was about punk ass Dre when you knew Dre set you up.
So let's clear this up. The yeah. reason that Dre had Julio killed was for the primary reason of what?
To take his job.
I have me
telling him what to do, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. You know, he wants to be a mini ghost, and you know, they're I obviously can't, you know, they're setting him up for that throughout the beginning of the season. Right. You'll have to see what happens now, but yeah, he wanted me out. I was in his way.
I was just about to definitely say yeah. that Jare's been playing both sides, and with him yeah. still in the picture, he can't control that. So
yeah, you know, there's been talk of the fact that, okay, now that Julio has seen Dre with Kanan, and mm-hmm. you know, so now I got to get him out the way. But I'm glad that you said that with your own words, that it was mainly just because of the position that he wanted, which we discussed yeah. before yeah. as well.
And then we have two more questions, and then we'll let you. Oh, you want to say something?
Oh no, yeah, okay. No, I was just gonna say what you guys were saying. He needs you know, he wants that road clear. He just mm-hmm. wants to
Okay, sure. So you shot this in December, so you've had to go this entire time without letting anyone know. Was that difficult? Was there anyone that you could tell?
Yeah, what do you guys think? Yeah. I've been holding, my manager and I, like, just had a huge sigh of relief yesterday, because I was just like, oh my God, it's all coming out tomorrow. Like, thank God, between the show and the new announcement that I've had to hold back mm-hmm. From a very big company. And like, it's just been really hard. And then having to do a bunch of interviews and people asking a bunch of questions. And I'm like, I can't say anything. What the hell am I going to say? Yeah. I'm going to get there any way I look at it. So it's just like, yeah, it's been really hard, but you know, I think we did a great job. I have an amazing team, and I'm so grateful for you know, my manager, and she's been my rock for 12 years, and yeah. and my entire team has been an amazing, just really allowed me to understand what to say and how to say it, and then be able to be myself and bring out my, you know, authentic and my own personality, and it's been really hard for me, but it's been a learning lesson too, because the whole press thing for me is. I'm relatively new at it, so
gotcha.
Get used to it, because you it was announced today that you are joining the second season of Jessica Jones on Netflix.
Congratulations.
And we know you've been shooting that, which I'm assuming why you grew your hair out. So you've been shooting that for how long, and then when does season two come out?
Yeah, we don't have any dates on that. We've been shooting for quite a while now. Okay. We started in March. Yeah, man, it's a blessing. It's literally a blessing. We shoot here in New York. New York's been really good to me, man.
Yeah.
You know, I had my hesitations about the city when I first got out here, but it's been damn good to me. I'm beyond blessed. The team's opened their arms to me. We got a few crew members from Power. It's funny enough because it's New York, you know, it's a smaller crew out here, and a lot of people kind of mix and match with different jobs. Mm-hmm. And I can't really say much about it, but man, I'm super hyped. And yeah, it comes out in the beginning of next year sometime. We don't have a date yet, and just putting in good work and blessed to be in, you know, a new chapter of my life, and you know, just putting it out there, man. It's been great.
That's great.
Well, we want to thank you before you go, JR. We want to thank you for bringing us so much great character from Julio for these four seasons. You've been awesome, and you went out with a bang between last episode and this one. Which one had you a little bit more nervous? Your scene with Sue. I mean, gosh, I was like. Everything. You got
I mean,
the whole
it got hot
talking.
In the room.
I saw you tweet that your mom watched that.
Oh my gosh! Okay, yeah. So tell us how that was.
Well, that was a long one. That was on page. It was like almost three pages. I was like, is that really needed? Like, I told my team. I was like, you know what? I'll be happy if I never have to do this ever again. They're like, yeah, okay, buddy, that's gonna happen. So, I mean, you know, same thing. We prepare weeks ahead. The whole team is very good about making sure that we know exactly what we have to do, when we have to do it. And we just show up, and it's been so rehearsed and prepared that we show up free and ready to just kind of jump into it. And I'm blessed enough to work with Sheena. She's such a pro. We're very comfortable with each other and it's just, you know, it's any way you look at it, it's uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable thing, you know, a close set, still like 20 some people. But you just got to go in there and have a good time and try to enjoy it and commit to it. And like I said, I'm lucky enough to work with a bunch of pros, and it makes my job a lot easier at the end of the day. So
nice.
And then I can cringe when I see it, you know.
What we see is, so now that you're gone, will we see the Sue character? Is she going to stick around, or you can't say anything?
I can't really say anything, man, to be honest with you.
All right, gotcha.
And I actually don't know a lot. I stopped reading because I'm such a, like, honestly, and I say this all the time, this is a show that, and I don't say this a lot about things I've worked on, but this is a show that I would definitely watch if I wasn't in it. So now I'm kind of surprised myself, just as you guys. I don't know a lot about what happens. Like, Joe was starting to tell me about that. I was like, shh, no. I want to watch.
Okay. There you go.
With that said, what was your first initial reaction when you watched this episode?
To what? To, like,
I mean, I knew that. I'm sure you knew your character dies. Like, did you know there'd be so many other deaths?
Yeah, I mean, we were at the table read. Yeah, I knew what was going on. And I was sad about Anika because she's just such.
Yeah.
I wish I had a chance to work with her. She, I mean, obviously, I'm stating the obvious. She's a freaking beast. But she's so busy. She's got so many things going. I was sad to see her go. And, you know, it's Power. Like I said, man, people, you know, we ain't going to be the last three gone this year.
Final question is, as a series regular, how much in advance were you given that you would be killed off so as an actor you can go look for a job? Did you find out during the table read, or were you informed prior to the table read? When you got the script
before.
Okay.
I was informed, you know, during the beginning of the season.
Okay.
Kind of thing. But you can't, you know, you obviously got to go in there and continue working through your contract and working until it's done. And then you're, you know, back to ground zero. And this job's crazy, you know. But I was blessed enough, again, to have an amazing team. They worked their asses off. And I put good work out there. And here we are, man. You know, just blessed and employed in this crazy-ass business that we're in.
Right.
JR, we want to thank you so much
for rocking with us.
Definitely.
You know, each season coming by. And, I mean, damn, we are really sad to see the Julio character go. But you are working. You're a great actor. You've already got other jobs booked. And so we will see you definitely again soon in the past. And we wish you all the best of luck.
This ain't goodbye.
Of course not.
Yeah. So,
right. This is see you later.
Yeah.
Where can we find you on all of your social media?
Yeah. So my Instagram and Twitter is JR Ramirez. JR8 Ramirez. Mm-hmm. And my Facebook is JR Ramirez Official.
All right.
Nice. Well, thank you again for coming on. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. And we'll see you soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Here.
Okay, so
cool, cool guy.
So we covered body counts 1, 2, and 3. Just one quick question before we move forward. So, you know, this obviously will be determined a Toros Locos murder on Julio. So how will this affect Dre Cristobal, and what will Ghost do when he finds out? Any person can talk, but we have a lot to go. So
we have a lot. I don't even have anything to say on that.
Okay, cool. So let's move to body count 4 and 5. So Jukebox and Marcus. So last weekend we mentioned how we thought Kanan grew a soft spot for Tariq. So the moment we were waiting for, Kanan and Ghost together for the first time since he thought he killed Kanan. All right. So obviously Jukebox. Okay. So, what was your thoughts when you saw Jukebox and Tariq having that moment when they were asking questions, where we found out where Jukebox got her, she got her name from listening to radio, and she was able to imitate people. So obviously she maybe had aspirations to be a singer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She was singing, she was humming. They were. So what did you guys think about that scene? That was probably the most almost touching moment that we've ever seen from Jukebox.
That was the most humanizing moment for her, I believe, that showed her she has some sort of heart and some sort of, you know, she was a person. She had dreams and, you know, things like that before. And I almost for a split second thought, I was like, you know what? She ain't going to do nothing.
I'm with you.
And then all of a sudden when he knocked out and she was like, lights out, little nigga. that didn't last too long. So anyway, that came and went really fast.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me wonder what got her to the point that she was so cold. And then I wondered if she ever had any interactions with Tasha because of the way that she said to him, I will knock your mom off. Like, it was just an interesting tone. Like, I know exactly who your mom is, and your mom couldn't touch me.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting moment.
I wonder that too. And then also going back to reflecting back, you know, like I said, maybe she had dreams of being a singer.
Mm-hmm.
She had dreams of being a singer. And then also something happened to where she has become completely cold-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, so Jukebox gets Kanan to confess. So now once we're at the we're inside the
Ghost is there and everybody's there.
So Jukebox gets Kanan to confess to Tariq that he's really Kanan and who he is in the relationship he had with his dad back in the day when they were younger. What's your thoughts? Did it really matter at that point, or do you think that
it mattered? It mattered a lot.
It mattered to Tariq.
I thought
and to Kanan.
Yeah.
I thought that moment was so pivotal because Tariq needed, you know, just in that moment, every element of that was very important. He's standing here with who he thought was Slim. So he's finding out the truth. He's standing here with his true father, his real idol. And I think that he needed to see that whole story unfold, how he said that him and his dad used to run back in the day. But here you got his dad reaching out like for love, like, I love you, son. You know, like every moment of that, I thought the writers did a great job with breaking that whole situation down. Mm-hmm. And Tariq needed a wake up call.
Yeah.
And also because of how Tariq felt about Sean, the fact that Kanan told him, look, I'm the one that took Sean out. You know, that was another person that he took from him and sort of replace that relationship. So I think there were a lot of complexities that moment just unraveled and layered. I wonder just where Tariq is going to come out on the other side of all this.
I got to say, too, real quick, Omari has been, I think he's had some of the toughest scenes and the toughest segments this entire show, you know, from all seasons, because, you know, he's had to pull out that emotional side of him.
So
you know,
many,
just imagine you seeing a real kid right there, you know, just being hemmed up and all of that stuff. So
did you guys see this coming? Jukebox did, and that she's shot by
Kanan. Yeah.
I
think I said that already.
I knew that she was going to have to go because she wasn't going to stop. There was no way you can contain or control her. And Kanan, as was pointed out, was obviously developing some type of feelings for Tariq, and the two weren't going to be able to coexist. So.
Yeah.
And then
what do y'all think about the fact that Kanan got a few feelings? You know, he's been so hard throughout this season as well, and, you know, past seasons. And he got, you know, a little, not emotional, but he showed some human side of himself.
Some compassion.
Much like 50 Cent. All he really wanted was to be acknowledged by Ghost and to be back in, you know, on capers with him, I think. I think that's part of it.
And what's interesting is, Ghost had the opportunity to shoot him, and Robin and I had this conversation before the show started, which I don't think it would have made sense for Kanan, for Ghost to shoot Kanan outside, because he didn't know how many people Jukebox has, and we know how dangerous she is. So when Kanan actually kills Jukebox, which I think was necessary because she's a man hater and she was going to actually kill him at some point because she was so loyal. She was more upset that Kanan had to serve 10 years more so than Kanan.
Let me clarify. Yeah. I wondered why he didn't shoot Kanan when Kanan walked over to... His guard was down. Yeah. He walked over to Jukebox after he just finished killing her.
Yeah.
Now Ghost is holding Tariq.
Yeah.
He had an opportunity to shoot him. But, you know, thinking now, I'm like, you wouldn't probably kill somebody in front of your son.
Yeah.
Although you could probably justify, you know, why he would do that. Because my thought is... Now that Kanan's walked away with his money, who's to say that he won't try something like that again? Ghost doesn't know that.
And he says, you know, he says to your round little, so we know
that he's going to come back.
This is not over.
Right, yeah. Right.
So let's move forward. So dead body count, the next one. So Marcus, when Kanan and Ghost decided to rob Tommy's safe house, open discussion. Any thoughts?
I mean, Ghost had to do what he had to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we all, if that's the only place he thought he could have gotten that money, I would have rode up in there with a gun, too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and then he didn't want to. Like, yeah, he had to knock Grim out in the hallway.
He's a sucker.
Who, Grim is?
Grim's a sucker. Marcus, who got shot. Like, those
Why
dudes.
Is Marcus?
No. Marcus went out fighting, though.
Yeah, but remember a couple episodes ago, he got bitch slapped by G-Rod.
Okay.
At that point, I don't know. He caused his own death because he tried to pull out a gun. There's no reason why you had to. They
just
were just trying to get the money.
One thing about this scene, though, was it showed how good Ghost and Kanan worked together.
Which was
important to definitely see.
I agree. We've heard about it. We've just never seen it until now.
Yeah. And so at some point, I think it will come back. The final question that I want to ask about that is, how do you think Tommy's going to respond to Ghost having to hold up his spot in order to get the money?
No, I think he'll be mad at first, but once he understood the situation.
And also, just coming from what Tommy just went through and the double crossing setup, I think that there's a whole other level of problems that they're going to have to deal with together, separate, or manage and maintain. So I think that it's going to be... Damn, that's fucked up. Messed up, but we got better stuff. Yeah. Sorry.
That's right.
Body count number 6, Pitar. So, Tommy arrives
in
Chicago.
My man, Pitar.
He arrives to Chicago where he meets Jason Misick. The business is expanding to Chicago. Tommy explains about the hiccup and how they're going to still work out doing the drug deal. Mm-hmm. Jason says, absolutely no Ghost. He's a liability. You cannot be around him. You must move on permanently. You have to cut all ties. So, I smell a spinoff.
Could be.
That's just a thought. I smell a spinoff. But so then we see they're drinking, and then he gets put in the trunk, and then we go to this now situation where it's Tommy versus Pitar. I'm just gonna be honest. I don't care about this storyline. Y'all can have it.
I liked it because it showed how smart Tommy was in that situation. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know if the whole Pitar giving him the okay to do it, but I thought he was running game, so he wasn't gonna get killed. So he put the blame all on Pitar, and we saw what.
But I thought he was being honest.
He was being honest.
Yeah,
he was being honest. Oh, yeah. I thought he was running game.
And then Milan's wife was there, and she verified. Pitar, listen, I love the character, but I called it like I saw it first episode.
Yeah, that you didn't trust him.
Didn't trust him. Right. Your ass got to go. Anything else?
I mean, wolf in sheep's clothing is what, you know, that's what he was. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Shout out, Alex. Yeah, so that's it.
All right, so.
He got out. Yeah. You know, that's all. We knew it looked like Tommy was going to come to an end, but Tommy wasn't going to die. Tommy's a rider.
Tommy ain't going nowhere. Tommy and Terezi.
But no, he really could have, though. It was only because of Tatiana.
So Tommy closes his eyes the moment that he realizes that he thinks he's going
to
die.
And he flashes back to Holly.
Yes. So now he's on the road. He's alive. And we see the sign on the road that says 50 miles to Cleveland. And so he goes and makes a visit to Holly's uncle, Sam Weaver, who is a real estate agent. Open discussion. Go.
He just went ham, that's all.
I think that was all Tommy's frustration with everything that's been going on. He hasn't really dealt with, we know, what he did to Holly and how he didn't trust her and the fact that she was pregnant. So he took all of that aggression out on Holly's uncle,
who molested her. What do you think?
Tommy is a dead man walking. So you take the fact that he had to kill Holly because his loyalty to his brother, mm-hmm. Ghost. Then he kills her, and then he finds out that she's pregnant. Tommy has probably never been in a true relationship before. We don't know if he's had aspirations about wanting to have kids, but he killed his girlfriend who was pregnant. So then you take Tommy's crazy mama. Look at his entire background. Tommy is a dead man walking, and so it only makes sense that he did what he did, because that was his way of, when he reflected back to Holly, that was his way of getting revenge to Holly's uncle, as well as that was his way of apologizing to Holly for what he did.
Okay, so can we move on from this?
We're going, but you asked me the question, so
yes, I was asking if anybody else had anything.
I don't have anything else, so we're going to go to that was the last body count. So now let's go into...
That was a lot of body counts.
Yeah, so now let's go into Ghost, Tasha, Stern, Teresi, and Keisha. So, Ghost slept alone. Tasha slept in Raina's bed. Yaz slept over Mama's house. Where's Mama? We ain't seen her since season 2. And played by Debbie Morgan. I'm just wondering. Ghost wants to start over. He wants to put the past in the past, while Tasha says, this is not over. We are pretending till everything settles. Should Tasha take him back and they start over?
No, it's too soon.
Over?
And Tasha was right on
look at
point.
Y'all was ready.
Listen. Tasha was so on point when she said that woman just blew up her life for you.
That was a good point.
Right thing aside,
that was a good point.
That's not over. That type of passion doesn't just say, oh, okay, and we're moving on. So it's going to be a problem down the line, and Tasha knows that, and it's about her coins at this point.
I agree. It is too early, and let's just be honest. He's been in jail. He's horny. He needs some sex.
Okay. All right.
I mean, let's just... Okay. Stern is now the creditor. So now he wants to go back in business with Ghost as the face of his real estate to bring in minorities and to get a huge tax cut. Open discussion on the Stern. And Tasha's getting ready to get dragged. So Petty Pablo's coming.
I mean, the storyline makes sense. Mm-hmm. He needs somebody he can manipulate. He found a way in. We still don't know if Silver is on the payroll. Ghost has every right to be mad. I see why Tasha pulled that little money play. She was mad, you know, the kids were about to get kicked out of school, but
they had $2.5 million a check. They didn't have bail money.
So where did the money go?
To the business with Tommy and the hair shop and the weave shop, and to help for their lack of money that they're getting because a club is closed. So she's hiding secrets, and which is why, you know, when they said that neither one of them can trust each other, that makes sense. But homegirl, just 2 episodes ago, you had a huge falling out because Ghost did not tell you about a deal that you knew he was
did it.
But you knew that he wasn't going to take that deal.
That pissed me off, though. Like, that pissed me off for her to have gone to the jail, she ripped him one, mm-hmm. right, about making decisions without her, and then she went ahead and did the same thing.
And on top
of the magnitude mm-hmm. that it was, going to mm-hmm. Stern out of all people, and she knows the background with Stern, because they were open about that type mm-hmm. of situation.
She low-key probably still wants Ghost to go down, just not in
that
a type
fashion.
Of way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I disagree. Now, in that conversation when they were, did you guys notice the painting? The Negro? You know, it's painting? What I think is Tasha, what I think Tasha is trying to do is she says that, look, Ghost, I know you. You're going to figure out a way to use him to win. She is trying everything in her best interest to get this man to go back to the hood street, rough him up life. Mm. Again, which is why I blame him for this whole entire situation. She is baiting him to get back into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, this is real estate, to be fair. So.
But now let me...
It'll be a cover-up in the end.
But let me defend Tasha. It actually makes sense for him to work with Ghost because Stern, because he's a reputable white man, and you just got out of jail. So you can't do that. And so it only makes sense that you work with him and that you do real estate. So I do agree with Tasha that this does make sense, but your ass is wrong
for what you did. And we know that Stern isn't just over all the money and everything that he lost because of Ghost in that deal and his ex-wife. So.
Stern definitely has a plan that he just hasn't revealed yet, which I'm sure later on the season we will find out.
And so... Ghost gets the call from Teresi. Now, with that being said, now that Tommy is en route, well, he's in Cleveland. We don't know if he's coming back next week. How is this going to affect the fact that Tommy has to stay away from Ghost? He has to cut off ties. How is this going to affect the phone exchange? Mm-hmm.
They'll figure that out. They always do. Because he's going to have to... He's been serving through Ghost Club, so that doesn't just often stop. He's going to have to enact a plan of action to extract himself from the business side with Ghost. I'm curious to see how he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's how Ghost and Kanan will end up linking back up. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's going to be pretty interesting.
I don't know.
And then one other topic. So now Keisha seems like she is done.
She's scared.
Hell yeah.
She wants
her
out.
Her shop got locked up by the feds. That's how she makes her money. She has kids. She has neighbors. She's not about this life. She doesn't have ways to pop up on $2.5 million or what have you. She has to live.
But you know what? Too. When she walked away from that table, she was like, bye, Tasha. Something about the way she walked away from the table. I just think that Keisha has something up her sleeve. I'm not sure what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that she has the wherewithal to pull something like that off, something, you know, slick. But she just seems like, I don't know. It just seems like we're going to see something pretty good.
She's
going
to go to Ghost with something, I feel.
I agree, and I don't believe she's going to die. Because she said on the Breakfast Club that they were going to start shooting season 5 in September. Or unless that was a trick, so... I mean, although we don't like Keisha, there's really no point.
Who's we?
A lot of people.
You said we don't like Keisha. I like Keisha.
Okay, well, we've all said that she's kinda,
scared.
She was gonna cause a problem. Yeah. I still feel that, but I like Tasha.
Very jealous of Tasha.
But I do like that. I do like their relationship with Tasha and Keisha because it's completely opposite of Tommy and Ghost. Like Tommy and Ghost, no matter what they are going through, they always know how to work things out. And being that Keisha and Tasha have known each other since second grade, they've known each other just as long as Ghost and Tommy have known each other. But the friendship is just...
I don't agree with that. I don't agree. I think that Tommy and Ghost have turmoil between the two of them. One will get mad. One, you know, like they're very clear about that. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with Tasha and Keisha. Like they've got their turmoil. Mm-hmm. We see it, you know, and maybe there are some jealousies and some envies or whatever. But at the end of the day, they're going to work it out or there's going to be some sort of like come to Jesus moment. You know what I mean? I think that's what we're
doing. I think. Mm-hmm. All right. So all season 3, we saw Ghost and Tommy attack each other. Nobody killed nobody. Bet. I think if we switched up positions and put Keisha and Tasha in that, I think one of them will pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. On the other one.
I don't think so. Like, remember when they closed up shop, Keisha's shop, and she called Tasha. That's the first person she called. She didn't call Tommy. She didn't call anybody. She called her girl, right? No matter what the problems are, the underneath problems are, she called her girl. Tasha was like, I'm on my way. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing that Ghost and Tommy would do. I don't think she would let her burn. I don't think she would let her go down like that.
Okay.
And then, here's the other thing. Yes, we've seen Tasha say, you know, like maybe she doesn't trust where Keisha could go, or maybe she would turn. We've seen
the
that
conversation,
but haven't
with
we
Tommy.
Seen that with Tommy and Ghost? We've seen the same exact thing. So just because they're men and two women, I see where y'all trying to go, but I don't think so.
If we had more time, I would love to debate this with you.
We could
more.
Go, Bam. Like, but, let's do a special.
But we
let's do a Twitter special.
Okay, yeah, let's do that because.
Tommy versus Ghost and Keisha versus Tasha. Let's
Who
go.
Who would kill each other first? That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
So, hot damn, we actually got through all the topics. Do you guys have anything else before we go into predictions?
I just really want to say this was, if not the best episode of the season yet. We learned so much, but at the same time, we lost so much at the same time. So, which means next episode, I feel like we'll be introduced to new characters and new storylines as well.
I want to say the Lorenz Tate character comes in either episode 7 or 8 where he plays a councilman. So, ooh, okay. And we didn't see anything. I guess we're going into predictions. So, boom! Predictions. I think we didn't see anything regarding
the case.
Thank goodness.
Right.
Yeah.
So now next week we're going to get back to that. And now it's really the battle between Angela and Sandoval. So mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how that goes. Do you guys have any predictions?
I don't. Y'all go ahead.
I just want to see where Tyreek's headspace is at, because mm-hmm. you don't get over lean addiction that fast. He learned a lot of information. Mm-hmm. He saw 2 deaths. Well, no, 1 death. So I'm just trying to see what happens with him.
People are predicting. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, we saw with Sandoval's character in the little previews that he is willing to get his hands dirty. So that's going to be interesting there.
It is. People are thinking that Tariq is going to kill Kanan out of now that he's finally woke up and realized what's going on. Mm-hmm. Somebody last week sent me a tweet saying that that Teresi and the relations to Tommy and the father-son mm-hmm. seems too easy, and that maybe... he's related.
You saw that meme.
Maybe that's Holly's dad or
yes,
something.
Yes, exactly.
Which I don't. I like my story better, but you know, that's a good one.
That's a thinker, though.
Yeah, but that is a thinker.
I just, you know, maybe I do have predictions and things that I hope will happen or don't hope to happen, but there are just so many stories and it's just so much that I want to watch unfold. So I'm not going to give a prediction, but I really do wonder where that money went, because that was, you know, when Ghost told that to Tasha when he asked her, he was like, that was more than enough money. You know, unless there's something you're not telling me. And they kind of just, you know, floated over that.
And the one final thing is, when Tasha was on the phone with Ghost, when he was at the Tommy's safe house, she said, "Can we talk about last night?" Do you think that she actually had a change of heart where she thought maybe she want to start over?
I think maybe, or at least let's have a conversation. I think it's always in the back of her mind because of how long they've been together, to your point.
Yeah.
If she wants him back in the life, just that connection point. Or security, whatever it is she has over it. But
yeah,
I wanted to mention this. 50 posted on his Instagram. I don't know if he was taking shots at stars, but he said, "I woke up feeling a little different about Power this morning. If the biggest show on your network doesn't mean anything, what does your network mean, stars? I'm taking my talents to South Beach. F this." Hmm. So I don't know if he... I don't know if
but,
somewhere...
But, you know, he's been known to do a good publicity stunt,
he
too.
He definitely does, so...
I'm not saying nothing on that one.
There you go, ma'am. Just keep it on
us. I'm just going to shut up on that one. But on that note... Wow, so...
that was great. That was a great episode.
Great episode.
And it was to the writers.
Yeah, and it was written by Gary Lennon, who was a guest of season 3. And, Gary, fantastic job. And like I said, this is the best show on TV. You can follow me on all social media, @ Bam Erickson.
It's your boy Jimmy V. Twitter and Instagram, @ Be Your Own Dad.
Jill Monroe everywhere, @ Stiletto Jill.
You guys can find me @ Robin Ayers on all of my social media platforms, and check out my website. It's robinayers.com.
And we want to thank our special guest, Jill Ramirez, who plays Julio. Make sure that you guys check him out on Jessica Jones season 2 on Netflix in 2018. Thank you guys for watching and listening. We have a lot more surprises. We have a lot more guests coming. This is just...
Get started!
All right. See you guys later. Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.